Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and it is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to host the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call with you this evening. I have back by popular, that's three-time demand, Susan Sly, who's been on this call more than anyone in the history of this call in 19 years. Susan is one of the most sought-after speakers in personal development, self-improvement, branding, internet marketing, organization, and many, many other modalities. And I'm absolutely honored to have Susan on the call this evening. Susan, do I have you with me tonight?
I'm here, Jeffrey.
How are you, Susan?
I'm outstanding. Thank you. It's great to hear everyone, too. I've been on for about the last 6 minutes listening to people calling in from all over North America, and I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm honored to have you here. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements. You and I have a couple of events coming up here together. I'm going to cover a few of the details, and we'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. March 25th, that is this Saturday, will be in beautiful Long Island, New York, Huntington to be specific, at the Hilton in Huntington, New York. I will be there with my very good friend, Don Ferrantino. I will also be in Dallas, Texas on April 8th. I'll be flying solo at that event. I'll be in the Meadowlands, New Jersey with Alexis Romano and the Dr. Joe Dispenza. Now, we still have tickets available for that event. There's also premium seats, and there is the general admission seats still available. April 22nd, I will be in Albany, New York. I want to thank Frank Pecoraro. Frank has seen me speak almost as many times as Joe DiBianca. Not quite as many, but Frank is moving up the ladder. April 29th, I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts, one of my favorite cities, with Abby O'Neill, a fast rising star in the network marketing and direct sales industry. May 6th, I'll be in Kansas City, Missouri, one of my hometowns, where I lived for 6 years and went to college relatively close to Kansas City, Missouri. And Kaylin Hurricane Hobbs, who is crushing it, is my host for that event. Kaylin is really, really starting to put the energy on here, and I want to congratulate Kaylin. May 20th, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with one of my best friends and co-collaborators, Mr. Joe DiBianca. And Joe has been an absolute great supporter and promoter for me for going on 5+ years. I just added June 3rd, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the beautiful Westin Hotel on the beachfront in Fort Lauderdale. And Lisa Pazanza, thank you very much for hosting that event. June 17th, I will be in Marina Del Rey with Tara Romano. July 15th, La Jolla, California, with C.G. Siddons. And then August 5th, Millionaire Blueprint. Now, Millionaire Blueprint, by popular demand, I did not host an event last year in Las Vegas. I will be hosting it this year. It will be a fabulous event, and what a great lineup. That is August 5th. That is a Saturday. That is from 12 until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to thank our event coordinator, Sandy Diario, who, as always, provides the most stellar service of hosting these, putting these events together for me. And here is the lineup: Tara Romano, Jennifer Corliss Trinker, Susan Sly, and myself. How about that for a fourfecta? Four millionaires that you have the opportunity to collaborate with. Now, the room has plenty of room. We'll have at least 500 seats, $20. You can purchase tickets online at goldenmastermind.com for any of the events that I have listed. The August 5th event is available on sale. The Joe Dispenza event is definitely on sale. So you want to take advantage of the opportunity right here in front of you. And if you are serious, not curious, you're committed, not interested, in taking yourself and your enterprise to the next level, I've been coaching for over 18+ years going into 19. If you're serious about finding out more about my coaching services, benefits, features, and how you can live the dream, contact me directly on Facebook, send me your phone number, and give me context and what you'd like me to assist you with for a free 15-minute coaching evaluation. I typically have a 12 to 14-week waiting list for my coaching. I've coached over 12,000 clients, 60,000 hours. That is six times the 10,000-hour habit. And it is with great privilege that I move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call with one of my dearest friends and one of the most exceptional entrepreneurs that I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with in my 35-year-plus career. Now, I have a great bio to share with you of Susan, but I also have my own story of Susan and my collaboration and how we met, and I'll cover some of that in tonight's call. But for those of you who are relatively new to Free Enterprise, Susan Sly is a best-selling author. She is an exceptional first-class speaker, world-class trainer, certified NLP coach, certified trauma release specialist, entrepreneur, multiple business owner. She's appeared on multiple television stations throughout the United States and Canada, stations like CNN, CNBC, Fox, Lifetime Television, the CNBC Morning Show in Australia, has been quoted in Forbes magazine online. She's also the author of 7 books, and her book project with New York Times best-selling author Jack Canfield made 6 Amazon best-selling lists. She has completed the Boston Marathon 6 times and placed top 10 in pro division of the Ironman Triathlon in Malaysia. She is also very passionate about philanthropy and has dedicated a significant amount of time, money, and energy to working to liberating girls from trafficking and invest in education to support women and girls who have survived trauma and abuse both domestically and overseas. Susan is the mother of 5 children and resides with her husband in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. You can find out more about Susan at SusanSly.com. And Susan, on a closing note, unequivocally believes that you deserve to receive it all. And with that, Susan, it's my privilege and pleasure to have you on tonight's call. Welcome to the call.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jeffrey. And it's a privilege to be here with you. And I'm so excited for all of the events we have coming up, and especially for the people who are committing to change and making 2017 the year of the breakthrough. And I know that many people listening are here for that purpose. They're looking for that one thing that can take them to the next level. And so I want to commend everyone who's here live, everyone who's here listening to the podcast. And Jeffrey, thanks so much for you. I think our friendship is going on over 15 years now.
2001, I'm introduced to you by one of my coaching clients at that time, Deborah Kay. I'll never forget, I saw your first website, a black and white with your fist under your chin. Do you remember that picture?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
That was 2001 when I was introduced to you. I actually met you in 2003. Had the privilege of coaching with you in 2004 as you were pregnant with your third child. Was that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Your third child, you came to Breakthroughs to Success in 2015, February, but a game-changing event for you was the Jim Rohn event, the very first Jim Rohn event that I hosted in Dallas, Texas, January 2005. You stood up, gave a testimony of my then, what used to be a cassette series, but then was a CD series, Psychology of Prospecting. You gave an edification of that CD set and announced that you would be on that stage the next year. Now, you made that announcement in front of 1,000 people, and you delivered. 2006, you shared the stage with the great Jim Rohn, Mark Victor Hansen, and one of the founders of your company was in the front row, Kathy Coover. I will never forget your first speaking engagement with me. You crushed it. You've been crushing it now for many years, so great to have you on tonight's call. Susan, you are a multipreneur, a multi-producer. I mean, your bio is beyond impressive, your accomplishments. And I understand you just added credentials to that just recently. Can you tell us a little bit about your newest certification?
Oh, thanks, Jeff. You know, it's fascinating because I've been studying NLP for years, and actually, now that I'm looking back on it, decades. And for those of you who are unfamiliar, NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And NLP was founded by Richard Bandler, Joseph Grinder, and a woman by the name of Virginia Satir. And what happened was Bandler and Grinder, they were studying psychology and communication, and they wanted to look for ways in which we, as human beings, instead of, you know, searching esoterically for all these different modalities, could actually streamline it. And they began to cure people's phobias in 90 minutes. Virginia Satir could cure schizophrenics in 1 2-hour session. And what they realized is that from a vantage point of human potential, we carry around a lot of limiting beliefs. And I've done a Facebook Live on this, a podcast on this, a blog on this. And we carry around these limiting beliefs, and these beliefs start generally in childhood in the conscious, then they go into the subconscious where they create programs, and those are the things that hold us back. And this is where Jeffrey specializes in things like addictions, because our programs create our addictions. And so for me, it was really, really important to, I have a background in psychology. My undergrad degree is, I did a 4-year degree. I started when I was 16 years old. I did it in 3 years, skipped 2 grades in high school. So I have a science degree in psychology, and I am fascinated with human development, human potential. So recently I just actually completed 4 NLP certifications. So my NLP coaching certification, trauma relief specialist, timeline coaching, where I can take you back and we can identify the trauma point. We can heal the memory so you can move forward, and also helping you use NLP. So as opposed to just saying, hey, I want to set some goals this year. I know the BBs are on and I saw them speak live a couple of weeks ago in Las Vegas. They're amazing. And instead of saying, hey, you know, we want to do these goals, we want to hammer in and make sure there's no limiting beliefs around those goals. So NLP is something, Jeffrey, I've been incorporating in all of my classes, my Organize Your Life classes. When I teach live on stage with you, I'm always using NLP. And now I have these additional certifications, which makes it even more fun. And I'm hoping that I can actually bring some NLP to train everyone tonight so that they can leave here going, one, I want to share this information. Two, I have some tangibles that I can use in my business and my life. And three, we will never miss another Jeffrey Combs call because there's so much good information. So that's my goal for tonight. And we want to get that outcome for everyone.
And you will definitely deliver, Susan. I was introduced to NLP very early in my career, and I purchased their very first book called Frogs Into Princes. I later bought the book Structure of Magic 1 and 2. Those books,
I own those.
Yeah, they're out of print, but anyone who's resourceful can find the paperback versions. As you've met my young superstar, Alec Friel, who I had him go out online, and he purchased Frogs Into Princes, and he travels with it with me many times, and I'll pick it up while he's traveling with me and refresh myself. That is a great technology. And then, Susan, in 1996, I was introduced to one of the top NLP trainers, John Laval. He wrote a book called Persuasion Engineering. He was actually in my downline for a while, and his book sits right there up on my shelf. And one of my clients, Matt Smith, is also a NLP student, and he is a big fan of yours. So I have been a long devotee of that type of technology. Now, you covered a real quick good point about healing the trauma. So I specialize this in myself in my own unique way, as you do, is that most people don't understand that it's events that shape their feelings. Most of society lives in effect in a limiting belief. Now, today alone, I had two women I were coaching, two very talented women, both say to me they couldn't imagine themselves making 6 figures a month. Well, that's their limiting belief. They couldn't imagine it. Now, it's also very common that many people will say, all I have to worry about is myself. I couldn't imagine who I'd be if I didn't worry. This is the way that many people communicate with themselves. They can't imagine something of magnitude being able to accomplish it, but they are able to stay in their overwhelmed, over-obligated state, in a fight-or-flight state, worrying, and then being dis- and unorganized, one of your specialties. So let's take a look at organization, which is one of your most awesome skills that you teach people, because being organized, being unorganized, is a limiting belief. Would you agree, Susan?
Absolutely. And Jeffrey, you are one of the most highly organized people I know. And I want to throw this into the mix because we're going to You know, every time Jeff and I get together, we don't plan what we're going to talk about. It just comes from our heart. It's raw and real. And I know there are people listening now and be like, well, I have kids. You don't know my life, Susan. I've got a job. I've got two jobs. I've got a network marketing business. And here's what I want to say to you. As long as you're standing in that mode, which is actually a victim mode, and I'm going to put on my pointy shoes, and I do it with love, believe me, because I give, I'm here to serve and here to give. And honestly, guys, that mentality keeps you stuck. I have five kids. I'm 17 years into a progressive MS diagnosis. I work out every day, multiple companies. And if I can be organized, you can be organized too. So I've been teaching students organization strategies for years, and I do it in four different areas of focus. So one is generalized. So when people are coming to me, and friends like C.G. Siddons and Alexis Romano and many people have actually come through those courses, I focus in the first one in all the areas of our life. So in our health, our relationships, it's powerful money. And the next one we focus on is just for entrepreneurs. We bring in a tax specialist. My tax specialist actually used to teach for Tony Robbins. He's brilliant. He's a CPA who has worked with the IRS, Revenue Canada. We talk about NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, so if you have staff, if you have a downline, all sorts of things, and we get you really organized. And then the next one is just NLP sales skills, and then the last one is a leadership academy. And my vision, Jeff, with creating these programs is it's very, very cost-effective for people. And so a lot of programs like this, people charge like $10,000.
Easily, $10,000, yeah. Five figures. You know, I got to see a mini version of it this year. You and I did an event in Scottsdale. It was very impressive. The before and afters you had an organization. Susan, also what many people don't understand, when they have an addiction and being disorganized is an addiction, that an addiction creates a tolerance. A perfect case in point, if the medical community puts you on Adderall, which is the breakfast of champions, unfortunately, in North America, it's one of those common prescribed medication that gives you a fake focus. Then the challenge with that is that you start to build a tolerance up to it. So 10 milligrams becomes 20, 20 becomes 60, 60 becomes 80, and all of a sudden you're on 100 milligrams of Adderall because you create a tolerance. Well, your body does the same thing in being unorganized, disorganized. The body creates a very high tolerance to being unorganized. You are unequivocally the number one coach and masterful person in assisting people understand the cause and effect of being unorganized because of how high a tolerance it creates. It's one of the most challenging addictions to overcome because there's a lifetime of it for most people. And the common language they use to limit that belief is, I can't see myself being organized. Being organized is not only a skill, it's a habit, it's a mindset, it's a reality, and you also have to understand that it starts just like any addiction with one day at a time. So with your NLP techniques and skills that you've learned, what do you assist people to change that belief about being overwhelmed, over-obligated, and unorganized?
For sure. I mean, we don't get our goals, we get our standards.
That I love that. Say that again.
Thank you. We don't get our goals, we get our standards. So let's do a deep dive into every aspect of our lives, right?
I hope you brand that term, Susan. That's a trademarked, registered term that should be a Susan Slyism.
Thank you. And with regard to this, let's take a look at health. Some of you listening, you have allowed your standards to slip with regard to your health. So what started as I'm 5 pounds overweight, I'm 10 pounds overweight, I'm 20, I'm 30, that has become a standard. I've been with, Jeffrey knows my husband. Chris and I have been together 17 years. We went to high school together. The number of times you make love in a week or in a month or in a year with your partner, your initial standard, especially when you're newlyweds or whatever, is very frequent, and that standard drops. It is a standard. The amount of money you save, the money you invest, the money you make, that is all a standard. The amount of sleep you get, how you take care of yourself, it's a standard. Your organization is a standard. And let me give you a couple of quick tips, because that resistance that you have, chances are the voice you hear isn't even your own. It's something you heard, you interpreted in childhood, generally before the age of 7, and you adopted a limiting belief. And I know there are many people listening who are chaos addicts, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, and you feel more comfortable in your chaos. And the thing I'll tell you is when you're disorganized, there is collateral damage. When anyone goes off to war, there's collateral damage. And we always talk about, oh, civilians, there was collateral damage. Your disorganization has collateral damage. It's your children. It's your partner. It's the fights you're having. It's the money you're not making. It's the leads you didn't follow up with because you put them on post-it notes. You can't flip and find them. I mean, guys, seriously, enough. Your level of organization is absolutely related to how much money you make in free enterprise. And I want to talk to you and have a deep one-on-one, even though there are hundreds of people listening, a deep one-on-one with you. If you're the person who is so disorganized that you are paralyzed, you need help. I wrote a book called Organize Your Life, and I took personality profiles, and years ago I actually used to work in a prison, first as a guard, and then I actually went into the psych testing unit. So Jeffrey, I would sit there in a room with inmates, with federal inmates. I'd do Rorschach tests, DSM-3R testing, word association tests, all sorts of different things, and I really got to study human nature, the worst of it, up close. And the thing I will tell you is that we all have our personality types, and my favorite personality type ever, ever, ever book, audio ever done is Jeffrey's Animal Factor, and I actually use this all the time because it makes sense. What I did is I took the core personalities and I actually made them out to 6 different personalities and to assess what kind of person you are, and I'll just run through them quickly. So these are all trademarked by me, but apathetic Annie, chances are you're a woman, you're overweight, your place is chaos, but if your friend is like, come help me paint my place, you'll be the first one over there, and then you'll resent, you know, everyone around you. Your immune system is run down. Chances are you don't have a lot of money. Sorry, that's Helen Helps a Lot. Apathetic Annie is the person that she's hot and she's cold. She's passive aggressive. Sometimes she's like in the zone and she's awesome, and then you don't see her for a while. She disappears. And understand, we all have this range in our personality types. We have the best of the best and the worst of the worst. Then there's chaotic Carlos. Carlos spends money he doesn't have. You don't have to be a guy. You could be a girl doing this. You're all about appearances. You know, you haven't paid your taxes in 5 years, but man, oh man, you look good in that Versace. You drive a car you can't afford. And Jeffrey and I know people like this. They always like to pick up the tab for dinner. It's all flash and show, especially in network marketing. Good Lord. And there are a lot of them out there. Then we have Harry Hoarder, and Harry holds on to stuff. Harry is a company jumper. He never really produces. If you want to take these and overlay them into network marketing, and Harry still has materials from his past companies. He sends mixed messages, which is, I'm not really serious about this. I've got, you know, my foot in here, my foot in there. He might be in multiple companies. He has products from all these companies, and chances are Harry is not making any money whatsoever. Then we have Militant Marty. Marty is analysis paralysis. He's very hypercritical. He's critical of others, but most specifically himself. I've known a lot of people like Marty. Marty spends more time making spreadsheets, and, you know, in the realm of network marketing, he'll call up, he'll spend 3 hours on the phone with a potential sponsor, and he sets people up to disappoint him, and it's really sad because he's so analytical. And you know, then the last personality is obsessive Ollie. And Ollie is the person who is having people over to do a presentation, Jeffrey, and she'll spend all the time vacuuming just so there are marks in, you know, marks in her carpet. It's all about impression. She sometimes can be very, very slender. She can be anemic when we go in the health side of things. From the outward appearances, it looks like she's very organized, unlike Helen, whose place is a total mess. However, internally, she's very self-critical. She's prone to a lot of different addictions, whether it's anorexia, bulimia, all sorts of things. And so these are the personality types that I lay out in my book, which is on Amazon, Organize Your Life. And I talk about it. And then I talk about what you can do to course correct. And it's so important that we all get honest. I am not perfect. Jeffrey is not perfect. Jeff and I, when we talk, we talk about ourselves from this place of humanness. And I don't think you should ever worship false idols. I'm a Christian. You don't put anyone on a pedestal. We all have our inequities. However, the first person to recognize where you need to course correct is you. Okay, that's the bottom line, because it doesn't matter what Jeffrey teaches you or I teach you. If you can't recognize that you have some limiting beliefs and you're in a degree of chaos, you're not going to be able to live into the woman or man that you're destined to be.
Susan, you're crushing it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'm wondering, some of those women I think I dated.
I have no comment. I have no comment. Next question.
Now, you be honest, Susan. I know you've dated some of those men. I know you well. You and I have some similarities in common.
Absolutely. And
one of the things you and I have in common is we are both recovering superstar producers and enablers.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have tended to do too much for people with an expectation that they could not fulfill, so we could be disappointed. Then we would attempt to outproduce the problem we created. Now, I know you're in major recovery of that. Mm-hmm. Me too. You actually have a few more years in that than me. I must give you credit on that.
Thank you. It's not a badge of honor.
That was good. It isn't. It's not a badge of honor.
If everyone is taking notes, or whoever is taking notes, I'm a kinesthetic, visual kinesthetic. So when I write it, I remember it forever. And Jeffrey knows I have a great memory. There are a lot of you out there who have issues with self-respect. And what you do is you get pissed off, right? So
and they're highly critical of themselves, too. They don't understand
so
how critical they are of themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to do these nice things for people, or I'm going to write people notes. I write people handwritten notes, but from a place of love, not expectation. And a lot of you have self-respect issues, so you do things and you create these expectations of other people that they aren't even aware of. You set people up to disappoint you, and it ultimately comes down to self-respect. And Jeffrey and I have both done this, oh my gosh, where we have had so many make-work people in our life, like a make-work project. Like Jeffrey has an amazing collection of cars, and when you purchase a car, you've got to do a restoration process to get to the end result. Well, people will come into our lives, and we might, enroll them in network marketing, or we might pay them to do something. But ultimately, if we're doing anything from a place that is lacking self-respect, we set these people up to disappoint us. And it's not about the people. The people are just being the people. And sometimes we have to allow people to learn their lessons. Just like with my kids, I have to allow them to learn certain lessons so they can grow into outstanding adults. And so if you're sitting here listening and you know you're a bit passive-aggressive, and I'm not talking clinical, my friends, I'm just keeping it real, that you're setting people up for failure. You're setting people up. Why isn't this person noticing me? I had Jeffrey's funny story. So I was doing an event in Toronto, and we were doing this like open discussion, and people are crying and stuff. And this woman's like, you've never seen me. I volunteered and you've never seen me. I'm like, I've seen you. I have seen you. What are you talking about? And she set me up to be the villain in her horror movie.
Oh, like, I've had this happen. It's amazing how this happens.
And I've been on this call, and then I had one woman who emailed me, if you say you're really philanthropic, I'm about to lose my house. Give me $5,000. I'm like, what?
Oh, I love that one. That is definitely that I'm going to set you up to feel guilty, to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And one of the things, if people are aspiring on this training to be millionaires, right? And guys, $1 million isn't what it used to be by the time you pay taxes and healthcare. And if you're in Canada, oh, good Lord, 52% in taxes, right, with the current administration there. I'm not going to get political, but, guys, and plus HST, another 13%, you're not going to take home that much. $1 million in today's dollars is like, $100,000 a year 12 years ago. So my question for you, if you're
I pointed that out to a woman today who was telling me she couldn't imagine herself making that kind of money. And I said, you won't, because you can't imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
And I laid out for her what it really means after taxes when you have an employee or two.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing, too. In Canada, because I'm passionate about taxes, okay, which is a weird thing to be passionate about.
Not really, because you're not only passionate about it, but you're intelligent about it. And this is an absolute fact. This is why you bring so much value. Well, we both do, because, I lay out for people, if you don't have a P&L statement, if you don't have a corporation, if you don't understand basic tax law, you don't really have a business. You can't have your head in the sand. Susan, I had the CID, the Criminal Investigation Department of the IRS, come to my door. Fortunately, I knew a little bit about tax law, and I did have power of attorney. And, I mean, that's a whole other story, how I let myself get seduced by an accountant. I was not really aware of some of the laws, and I paid back $198,000 plus $50,000 in legal bills and another audit. I learned a very good lesson. I mean, your accountants are good at counting money. We must be good at creating the money and then understanding what to do with it.
Exactly. I feel like we're in a revival, and I need to say amen and, like, put my hands up in the air like I'm at church, because in my entrepreneur's class, this is what we do. Like, it's tough love. Yes, we're going to talk about your well-formed outcome, and we're going to do all that coaching, and it's going to be amazing. But at the end of the day, your accountant is going to do your financials, and if you can't read them, shame on you. And I'm gonna get a little political, Jeff. I'm just gonna lay it out here.
Now, you know me, I'm an agenda guy. I like to you did I say that you and I are we talk about what goes on behind the scenes, because we are in the know in the now. Susan, I feel like we're in August 5th, and you and I are going to be doing an event on the East Coast also in September. I snuck that in there with Don Ferrantino and a couple other speakers. But don't you feel like we're already there right now?
I do. And I'll lay it out, because
does that mean,
like,
we're shape-shifting?
Yeah, maybe we're time traveling. I don't know. Because, you know, people are like, oh, I'd love to just, like, sit and have coffee with you and Jeff. So this is a little coffee chat right here. So there are a lot of people who are like, oh, Canada is the gold standard. And I know we have Canadians listening. And, hey, folks, I'm Canadian. Cool. I live in the U.S. now. And what they don't understand, oh, Canada. But then they're criticizing, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb, but I'm just pointing out a fact, and you guys can fill in the blanks. They're criticizing the desire in America to lower the corporate tax rate from 35%. But do you know that in Canada, the corporate tax rate is 15%? So you can't on one hand be like, oh, Canada's the gold standard, but then not want to lower corporate taxes. Like, here's the bottom line for entrepreneurs. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, independent, liberal, progressive, conservative, wherever you are in the world, God bless you that you have a pulse and a heart, like you can breathe air and you can live an amazing life and go out and help people. That's awesome. Here's the thing you have to understand. At the end of the day, the political ebb and flow is always for the business owner. And you are here because chances are you have a business and you need to be smart about it. You need to be organized about it. You must take your legitimate tax deductions. And like Jeffrey said so eloquently, you need to know what your P&L is. You need to know what your tax rate is. You need to know how to do all of these things. I'm very fortunate because I'm married to my CPA, so that's fun because, you know, if I don't like my P&L, then, you know, we can have a discussion about it. But, you know, it's very important. And I don't go, well, oh, my husband reads it. Jeffrey knows I'm not that girl. I actually go on the IRS site. I read the tax code. I consult with my other, you know, I have another CPA. I consult with him, my CPA who teaches for me, who comes and teaches my students, who's a brilliant, brilliant man, you know, from everything from can I deduct my dry cleaning, and if yes, when and where and how and everything else in between, and what kind of vehicle you should buy and how much it should weigh and all of this stuff. I mean, this is the stuff you guys have to know. And you may think, well, this is my favorite, Jeffrey, and this is one of my, you know, Susan gets nauseous statements. Oh, I'm in network marketing, and I can just do it from anywhere in the pockets of my life. No, you can't, because small business owners in America are 800% more likely to be audited. And I have many friends in network marketing who have been audited. And if you don't have a legitimate workspace, and you have to know the difference between, I teach you this stuff, between defined and semi-defined, multi-use, individual space. If you don't have that, if you're not keeping a legitimate log and proving that you're doing 45 minutes a day of income-producing activity. Not
And minutes, Susan. You have to record minutes. People don't even understand this.
Yes,
I have the King Kong of employees in Chris Shar. I mean, Chris can build a house and do QuickBooks all in the same afternoon. I mean, you have to surround yourself.
He has babies, Jeffrey, because he keeps doing that, too.
He has five kids. He's like you. I go, what is this, the Susan Sly Show, dude? You want another week off?
He's taking it very seriously about growing his empire in every single way.
Susan, so that's what I mean. The AIC, the ass in chairs, the dedicated block of time and a dedicated space to produce. So everything you're covering in tax law, I too taught myself over a long period of time. I am not an accountant, but I have an accountant aptitude. I have a legal aptitude. I mean, you and I have this in common. It's like in the quantum field, you and I receive at a very high level, then we can disseminate what we receive without trying to figure out what it was. And money is a skill for both of us, the laws that govern it, how to create it, what to do with it, and how to keep it in a constant state of motion. Most people are very static with money. They don't understand the laws that govern it. They have anxiety about it. They fear it. They avoid it. And then the other side of the mouth says they want to have freedom. It doesn't work like that. As you well know, you are unequivocally one of the most versed men, women I've ever met on the dexterity of bringing it all together in one package. That is what creates our friendship, one of it.
One of many things, for sure. And I think the greatest blessing is you and I have both lost it all more than once. And when it's a PhD. I don't recommend that you get to everyone listening, but some of you, gosh, you're holding on at like this vice grip, and you're actually turning people off from wanting to do business with you. And Jeff and I operate in this different kind of freedom. And my friend and mentor, Harvey McKay, he's written 7 New York Times bestsellers. He's in his 80s. He wrote Swim with the Sharks or Get Eaten Alive. I was at a charity event with him Saturday night, and this is who was there. Bo Derek, Sharon Stone, Harrison Ford, who I will tell, my husband knows I'm still madly in love with Harrison Ford. I can't help it.
Your husband has that look, though. He has that Harrison Ford look down. He could have been an American Graffiti.
He's like blonde Harrison Ford. We can put that out there, like Dutch blonde Harrison Ford. Larry Fitzgerald was there from the Arizona Cardinals. Dennis Quaid and his band performed. Reba McEntire hosted. And it was amazing. And here's the thing Harvey says.
How do I get the ticket to the next one?
Next year. We'll have a private conversation. You deserve to be there.
I do.
You just show up in your tux, baby, and it's an amazing night. It's so fun. And I don't miss it. I love this event, and it's in honor of Muhammad Ali's charity, to benefit Parkinson's research. So,
Susan, you've come a long way since Royal Tang and Limu.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not gonna talk about specific companies. Yes, I have, and I'm just let me finish what I was gonna say here. So you see all of these amazing celebrities and stuff, and we tell ourselves a story that they've never had hardships, which is a lie. That's a limiting belief you're creating for yourself because, Harrison Ford almost died recently in a plane wreck. Most celebrities have been upside down and backwards. Jeffrey knows many celebrities.
He was a carpenter when he got found in American Graffiti. He was building houses.
Exactly. And so we have to understand there's a price to pay for whether it's celebrity or money or anything. But Harvey McKay says this, I could lose everything. He has multiple homes, private plane, blah, blah, blah. I could lose everything, but as long as you didn't take away my skills and my network, I'd have it all back again in 2 years. And that's the same thing for Jeffrey and I. We're exceptional networkers, not from the standpoint of network marketing, but just networking and meeting people and being interested in people and then really figuring out how we can contribute to them. They can contribute to us. That's the law of business and understanding that. And some of you are in this vice grip in your life and your business, and people are looking at you as you're clenching your teeth. You have your TMJ. You're not sleeping. You've got the cortisol weight, you're super stressed out, you're like, get involved with me, and you're operating from this place of desperation, and it's not going to be until you get in the flow. And one of the most profound things Jeffrey ever said, we're doing an event, and he said, you want to prospect in the same way that Carlos Santana plays the guitar, and I've seen Carlos play live, and you want to get in that flow in your life, in your business. You're going to have wall-kicking moments. Of course, those are going to happen, but don't tell yourself a story that's easier for other people. Time is finite, and when I'm working with people, I teach them how to optimize their time and get out of those stories, those limiting beliefs, because they're never going to get to where they want to be, ever, if they keep staying in that story and that pattern.
I'm so proud of you. That was great content. Susan, the last 5 years have been remarkable for you. I mean, I've watched you reinvent yourself time and again. And right now I'm watching you really taking your game to the next level. It won't be long until I predict you'll have your own talk show, your own TV show.
Thank you.
I mean, network marketing will always be where you built your first six- and seven-figure income. But I'm watching you raise your game as I'm in the process of doing it yourself. Here's what many people want to know. With all the obligations you have, philanthropist, you're a top-tier athlete, you own multiple businesses, how do you stay organized and how do you keep track of it all?
Well, that's a great question. It's the multi-million dollar question. The first thing is that I firmly believe that whatever outcome or outcomes we desire, we want to take a multifaceted approach. So at the beginning of every year, I sit down on Boxing Day and, you know, I'll get up at like 4 a.m. and I'll hammer out a minimum of 100 goals for the year. And actually right now I think I have like close to 300, and of the 300, I've already accomplished like 150 of them. Now, I know some of you are like, what are you talking about? You're all up in your chest. But, you know, guys, the thing I want you to understand is some of these goals are very simple. However, write this down. What is at the forefront of our minds is at the forefront of our actions. So what I used to do, old Susan, who put a lot of pressure on herself, you know, let's say I wanted to do something like, you know, say in business, I wanted to recruit 100 people in a year. Well, I'd write down, I want to recruit 100 people in a year. And if I got to 99, I'd be beating myself up. So what I like to do is take a goal and break it down into smaller parts. So what I do is I say, okay, let's say the goal was recruiting 100 people. I'd say something like this. I recruit 5 new people. I recruit 10 new people. I recruit 15. And I check those off my list. This year, I decided to get back into podcasting. When I stopped podcasting, we moved to America. We're living in this house in the mountains, and we had horrible internet, horrible phone services. Like, I'd be doing calls in the parking lot of the Pantera Bread. It was insane. And so I stopped podcasting. And when I did, we were in 81 countries all over the world, and it was rocking. So this January, I'm like, I'm going back into podcasting. I'm going to produce 2 high-quality podcasts a week. Sometimes it's one, but most weeks it's 2. I'm going to have amazing guests. I'll have Jeffrey on. And we're going to talk about organizational strategies. I just had this guy on, Jeff, 15 kids, 5 of his own, 10 adopted, his wife died, and he was walking us through how, as a single dad of 15 kids with no nanny, he keeps them organized. So I bring on, and then Brandon Steiner is a good friend of mine. I've got a show coming up with him, and he hangs out with A-Rod and all these guys, Derek Jeter, and he owns a massive sports memorabilia business, you know, multimillionaire many times over, flies on private jets, is awesome guy, right? So one of the things I did is I took, instead of saying, you know, gosh, I'm going to produce 100 podcasts, I chunked it down. I produced 2. I produced 4. And that would be my first tip for you guys. How do you stay organized? Get out of overwhelm. Many of you are setting goals that are so big, you're just setting yourself up to feel bad, to have that cortisol weight, to feel that rage, that anger. Here I go again, another year, what I didn't achieve. We're almost at the end of March. We're Q1 into 2017. And here's the thing. Already 92% of people have given up on their goals. It's only 8% who are going to achieve whatever they set out to do in January. If you have weight to lose and it's like 60 pounds, don't say, I'm losing 60 pounds this year, because the more you think about the 60 pounds, the heavier it's going to be. So chunk it down. I'm releasing 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 15 pounds. That's going to help you. I don't get overwhelmed. With clarity and certainty, there can be no overwhelm. Jeff will tell you, I have the odd wall-kicking moment, and I'll call Jeff and I'll be like, you know, but it's not an overwhelm moment. It's about a certain situation or what have you. I'm always very deliberate. I plan my day the night before. I have business logs for the last 13 and a half years. If, you know, the IRS walked in here tonight and they were like, okay, Susan, we need to see what you're doing. I have Rubbermaid bins, Jeffrey, of Mead spiral notebooks, and I'm so OCD, they can only be purple or red. They are purple or red, and I have them, and they're written on, you know, what month they are. Every person I spoke to, I'm going to going to do a sidebar. So there's this person, and like a militant Marty kind of person who set me up to fail, you know, like joined my network marketing team, didn't order product, and I was just this, like, you know, as Jeffrey would say, an angry giver. I coached this person for a year. Then they started all this smear campaign about me and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, said very threatening things and, you know, whatever. And they were like, you haven't spoken to me in 6 months. And I'm like, actually, I have, because I have it logged. I'm not the person who you pull that nonsense with and be like, oh, cry me a river, you haven't spoken to me in a year, because if I have ever spoken to you, I spoke to Jeffrey early today. His name is in my book, and exactly what time I spoke to him about, I log the conversations.
Now, that is being called, that's detail conscious. Now, this is good, because I'm like you, Susan. I can find any piece of paper for the last 7 years, meaning that's how long in America you keep your taxes. At my corporate building 2 miles from here, which I'm going down there after this call, I can find any piece of paper in any given year because I know where it is. I'm detailed, organized, methodical, and systematic, and I don't get overwhelmed. I had Jared Wilkins at one of my events. He showed up in Houston, Texas, just off the wall. He was in a company where he was being mentored by one of the top income earners in network marketing. He went on to be a 7-figure income earner, and I asked him to share a testimony. He said, Jared, what do you do when you get overwhelmed? He looked at me, he goes, Mr. Combs, I don't get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what you do. You don't get overwhelmed because you live in a state of consciousness that is not a past event that has become a conditioned behavior. It's a separated feeling based on an event that no longer serves you. Now, when you're not the mind-body connection to the events, that's what letting go is. Letting go can be defined, explained, and lived, and that's why so many people have challenges with being unorganized, because they have an unorganized tolerance. They've built such a tolerance to it, they can't see themselves starting. That's why they unequivocally deserve to purchase whatever product you're offering. That's one they require. It's not only do they deserve it, it's a must.
It's an investment, and it's a ridiculously low price, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Value is greater than the price, so the cost doesn't matter. I mean, and very few people understand that in money. If the value is greater than the cost doesn't matter. But when someone asks you about cost, they're not concerned with the value. They're concerned with the cost. That's someone who's disqualified from the conversation because they're not seeking value. They're looking to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel people have to understand this. You can't look at Jeffrey, who is cash positive, and I teach this CPQ, cash positive quotient. So here's a man who's cash positive, meaning his assets are greater than his liabilities, multimillionaire. Even during the recession, Jeff was never overwhelmed. I knew Jeff through the recession. He's a producer. He's very focused. For me, you know, you can look at me and see CNN, Fox, and all the other stuff, but what you don't see is who I was before. But here's the thing. Even when I had no money, I was always organized. I was raised by a single dad and a very strict Chinese grandmother, and my kids were asking me about this today. And when I was little, growing up in our family restaurant, if I folded the napkins incorrectly, even by an eighth of an inch, my grandmother came along, ripped them like out of my hands. They were cloth napkins, and I had to do it all over again. It's the same thing, rolling change. If it was crooked, remember when we had to roll pennies and things like that? If it wasn't done perfectly, I had to do it again. I watched my grandmother, who is a self-made millionaire, many, many businesses, be so organized, so deliberate, and it's the same thing. And my two of my kids are on break right now, and so I get up very early in the morning, either 4:30, 5 a.m. That's my time. I make coffee. Chris and I sit in one of the rooms in our house. We have a fire going. I meditate. Then we do some gratitudes. Then I go in my office and I write. Then the kids get up. We get them going. We also make sure that we got to run in at least 5K. And then while my kids are on break, every morning before I start my production, I'm either taking them out bike running. Chris and I took them out today, so I had like 2 hours of exercise.
Don't forget, Susan, you're also a very skilled day trader. They don't know this. This is another business that you are very skilled at in the morning.
Yes, I do. And when the market's open, I'm trading on my phone. And
Can you cover just a little bit about that? That's a real skill that most people don't know that you're skilled at.
Oh, sure, yeah. It's an interesting market right now, man. Oh, my gosh. But when I was How old was I? Oh, my gosh. I have to think back to this. No, I was younger than 18. So when I was 15, I finished high school, if you can imagine, and I got an internship at a stock brokerage in Canada called Richardson Greenshields. And this was just on the cusp before we had like supercomputers and things like that. I'm 44 years old, so you guys can do the math. And so Virginia, who is my mentor, she used to say, Susan, okay, so-and-so is coming in. I need you to do a manual calculation of compound interest of this person's portfolio. And then my grandmother was trading stocks, and she was teaching me about that. And so, you know, and I've read books by Warren Buffett, and I really personally follow Warren Buffett's advice, which is this: I only invest in things that I physically understand. Let's take a look at Snapchat. So Snapchat IPO, everyone's like, oh, my gosh, Snapchat. No, I'm Gen X. I don't snap. Yes, some people in my generation do. I'm not a snapper. I do, you know, a lot of Facebook. I am invested in Facebook, and I'm just not giving you investment advice, people, but I am invested. Facebook owns a ton of VR technology, virtual reality, which they haven't even started to use yet. So imagine going on Facebook with VR glasses, and instead of me talking to Jeffrey, I'm like physically like sitting beside Jeffrey having a conversation with him, or Jeffrey doing an event, and you can log in on Facebook, and you have your VR glasses, and, you know, say you're in India and for whatever reason you can't get to More Heart Than Talent or Millionaire Blueprint, you can VR right in and be there with us and, you know, do your ticket and stuff. They own a ton of VR stuff. So, you know, Facebook I get, LinkedIn owned by Microsoft, they have a way to go, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so I'm investing in that which I understand. And so I love to do research. I love to take a look. I love stocks. I like an entry point of below $10. I love stocks where I can look at it and go, yeah. You know, like when Starbucks, when Howard Schultz left Starbucks, that stock went down to $7. And I started to buy a ton of Starbucks when Howard Schultz came back because I knew what he was going to do, and he had consulted with Michael Dell and all sorts of different people. Steve,
you're going to cover this at some of our live events this year, right? I mean, you could do breakout rooms. You could go till 10 o'clock at night, Susan. Susan, people are writing notes. I can see them. They're like free. You're coming to the East Coast with me on September 16th. We're going to do an event there with Don Ferrantino. It's going to be fantastic.
At that event, I'm actually going to teach NLP sales skills, and it's going to be epic. And I love teaching NLP. And what I'm going to be teaching is, when you're having a conversation with a person, are they an auditory person? Are they a visual person? I'll tell a quick story about this. Are they kinesthetic? So I had this student who took my class last year, OYL Sales Academy, and she was a realtor. And so she's, you know, had never sold a house, and I taught her these techniques. And so she takes these clients through the house, and she learned to watch for the cues that I had taught her. And so if someone's very kinesthetic, you don't say, hey, look out the window, look at this view. It doesn't mean anything. You say, here, touch this countertop. And I teach you how to find the cues. It's just one of the things I teach. Anyway, she ends up selling her first house because she did the tour according to the way that person
right, the plan.
In the world. Mm-hmm.
She read the card. She read the cards, not the man.
Exactly. So that's what I'm going to be teaching in New Jersey and in Las Vegas. Well, you know, who knows yet? I like to really sit and meditate on it. But if you guys have specific things, or even if you have a podcast idea, and I read all on Facebook on Susan Sly Live, which is my Facebook fan page. I read all of the comments on there. If you're nasty, I will kick you off. I don't care. I don't have an ego around it, and I don't have any regret around it. You're gone. But I do read the comments and suggestions around my website, SusanSly.com. If you say, would you do a show on that? Or, oh, my gosh, on Jeff's call, you mentioned this. I'd love to hear more about that. You know, I'm happy to entertain those ideas, absolutely. But in Las Vegas, it's definitely going to be something good. But I'm open to, if someone says, hey, you know, Susan, gosh, you know, we would love you to really go into how I self-sabotage an organization, I can do that. If you want me to teach along another line, I can do that too.
This could be a three-hour interview, I could tell you right now. I have about 400 questions for you that people are asking. You should see the list of questions people ask her this, ask her this.
I'm drinking some water while you're contemplating what the next question is. What's the biggest
wrap-up, people want to know this, you know, how did you get into day trading? You know, what is your technique? People don't even know you're a skilled day trader. I've known this for years.
Oh, gosh. It's so I have a friend, and Jeffrey knows this person, too. He makes a lot of money in another network marketing company. He's there, you know, trading on his phone. So one of the first things, when I lived in Canada, I have someone running my portfolio, but I'm very active in the trading of that. But when I moved to the United States, I thought, gosh, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to start to live into some of my other passions. And I have a lot of different passions, things people might be really surprised about. But anyway, so I was like, oh, you know, I want to get back into trading. And when I was a teenager, I used to, when we still had newspapers, right? But I used to read 3 newspapers every morning at 5:30 in the morning. Like I am that OCD about it. So I trade. I have a trading account and I trade on my phone. So this is what my morning looks like. So after my kids go to school, I put on Fox News. And I rarely go to the gym. I run outside. I have weights. I was a personal trainer for years. Jeffrey knows this. I have a physio ball, a medicine ball. I have weights. So I've got my phone going. I'm, you know, researching the market before it opens. I've got Fox News going. I'm working out in between my sets. I'm trading stocks. And some of my things that right now the market is, well, it's definitely anemic today, as we saw. But right now I'm investing in things that are longer holds. And it's kind of, there's a whole philosophy out there called couch potato investing, where you know, take your profits and you move them into things that you're holding for a long time. And the stock market is much like life. You can't panic. So you don't divorce your partner the first time you have a fight. You might have stocks that you buy and they might go down a bit. And some of the greatest stock traders in all time understand there's a cushion, right? So you might go down 10%. It doesn't mean you sell. You might just leave it. And so right now, with the market the way it is currently, I have some things that I'm really betting on. I'm betting on a lot of infrastructure right now, so I'm buying up cement companies. I'm betting on VR technology because I get that as a speaker and a trainer. I'm betting on defense in the United States, and I'm hedging it all with things like Canadian banks, which tend to be a safe haven. So those are just some of the things I'm doing with my portfolio. But in my class, for entrepreneurs, I talk about how you have a revenue stream that you're generating, but your second job, your second career is managing the money you have. So I like to take a certain amount of money of the money I make, and I like to use it to make more money that's more passive income for me.
That is fantastic. We are at the end of the hour, Susan. I know you put together an offer. That just hearing that, people are going to be listening to this call over and over. That was world-class content. I'm actually getting messages like it's my inbox is blowing up here. Ask her this. Ask her this. Go ahead
We're almost at the bottom of the hour. Let's do one more question. Like, Jeff, I know there's someone who's asked a question, someone that is inboxed you, who you respect. We'll take one more, and I'll give a quick answer.
Of all the defining moments, and I get this question all the time, you know, it's, what was that one big breakthrough? I know that it's not always like that, but can you let people know what one of the most defining moments that allowed you turn the corner in your career?
Wow. There are so many. Here's how I'm going to answer that. I'm always willing to break myself down to the very cellular level to build myself up. I mean, I just had a massive breakthrough moment over the weekend where my own NLP teacher took me through a process, and I was just crying. It was 3 hours, but on the other side of that, I was like, wow, you know, I feel amazing. And here's the thing that I want to caution everyone against. Some of you are under this flippin' delusion that you are going to have one breakdown and a breakthrough, and then suddenly you're going to be fine for the rest of your life. It doesn't work like that. There are refining moments and defining moments. Last year, my best friend, the one who believed in me when I lost everything, you know, MS, infidelity, lose a business, everything in 16 weeks. He was the one person who believed in me. He died last year, stage 4 cancer, and I was angry at him. because he was my person. Like, I'd call him, I'd be like, you know, and when Chris and I first started dating, he was the first person, he was a huge fan. And then my mentor died at stage 4 cancer. And, you know, I had all this different stuff going on. And you know, it was like one thing after another, but I never felt like a victim. I always said, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? And then being able to put myself back out there again. In business, you're going to have to put yourself out there again. And I want to give a couple of tips. I'm reading Megyn Kelly's biography, and like Jeffrey, I read about 5 books at a time, and I actually read them, but I have different books for different moods that I'm in. And Megyn Kelly, I mean, there's a woman who broke herself down, built herself back up, went through all these breakdowns to have, you know, become a person. I think her contract she just got was $14 million a year, one of the highest paid women ever in journalism. And guys, my friends, all of you, there isn't just one moment that I can look back and, yes, losing it all, whatever it was, but yes, it's still going on. It's still going on. As I said, I just had one last weekend, and 3 days before that, one of my other NLP teachers took me through another process, and it was a breakdown to a breakthrough again. So my question to reverse it is, how willing are you to go through these breakdowns to have the breakthroughs? Because every person out there, every millionaire, multimillionaire, even Tony Robbins, I'm friends with his doctor. And Tony was not feeling good. I've done events where I share the stage with Tony, and he was not feeling good, and he actually thought he was dying, and it turns out he had heavy metal poisoning, and the one person who found that, Dr. John Salerno, was amazing, and John found it and really helped Tony, but he was having his own breakdown, and here's a dude who, like, his combined companies are worth, like, $6 billion. He's invested in so much, and, you know, he's so passionate about financial literacy now, and he's constantly reinventing himself. He's gone from, you know, teeth clenched Tony Robbins in the infomercials to this guy who's writing about wealth and, you know, talking about potentially going into ministry at some point. Like, you know, we are all incarnating. Jeffrey is incarnating. I'm incarnating. You're all incarnating. But how willing are you to put yourself in that flame? Because leadership is forged in the flame of challenge. So that's how I would answer that.
Outstanding, Susan. We'll go ahead and wrap up with whatever offer you have. What a fantastic call. I have people say, I'm listening to this call. I can't write fast enough.
Oh, what a great call.
I'm crushing it. Can't wait to listen tomorrow again. I'm hearing this. I'm seeing this. So what do you have? And then you and I, August 5th and September 16th on the East Coast. So go ahead and share what you have.
Absolutely. So as Jeffrey mentioned, I'm passionate about teaching organization and productivity. And so my class, Organize Your Life for Entrepreneurs, so if you own a business, I have chiropractors who take it, I have realtors who take it, network marketers who take it, there are people from many different industries all over the world. That class is coming up in April, and it begins April the 18th. I teach it at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, and I have people in Australia who take it, and we have a lot of Aussies and New Zealanders who take it, so we make it, so it works there. I teach it myself for 6 weeks. You're privately mentored in a group, and that kind of training and all the NLP and tax strategy and everything you get, as I said, it's like at least a $10,000 course, and I have it on my website for $397, and with the code CHANGE, small letters, just CHANGE, the word CHANGE, that you can actually get it for $247, and that offer expires tomorrow at midnight. So if you're listening to this on the 21st, it expires the 22nd of March at midnight, and the code is CHANGE. So just go to www.susansly.com, click the shop button. You're going to see the different Organize Your Life. You want Organize Your Life for Entrepreneurs, click that in, CHANGE, and I would love to work with you. You'll not regret it. And I guarantee if you don't make the money you invest in the class, $247 more, or save it in your taxes, I will give you your money back. And we teach you how to handle audits. We teach you how to do all of that stuff in 6 weeks. And I'm passionate at it. And you know what? I'm really good at it. That's what I want to say, Jeffrey. And guys, if you want to converse with me, you can go to my Facebook fan page. It's Susan Sly Live, or just go to the info on Susan Sly. And on LinkedIn, I'm on there as well. And my book, Organize Your Life, which is getting great reviews, is on Amazon. You can go and order it there, check it out, or even get it through my website. You can get it there, too, if you're in the United States. So, Jeffrey, thanks for having me. And you know, I'd love to see what people are taking away. So I'd love to see those comments. And I'm looking forward to coming back the next time. We'll have another – you never know what Jeffrey and I are going to talk about. So who knows what we'll talk about the next time.
Well, I will also say this. August 5th, you and I, Tara Romano, who is an exceptional woman who you and I are very good friends with, Jennifer Corliss-Trinkner, another exceptional friend of ours, that we get to share the stage with, 4 7-figure income earners on one stage in Las Vegas, Nevada at Bally's. Forget this, Susan, $20. I mean, what a four-fecta of a lineup. Mm. You know, and you've had the privilege, like I have, of really watching Tara and Jennifer Trinkner evolve the last 6 years. You know, it's Alexis Romano who shows up in Syracuse, New York, sees you and I speak, and then the rest is history. So a lot of really good situations happening in August, and we'll be in the East Coast September 16th, and we'll have the date determined with Don Ferrantino and perhaps a couple other speakers for a one-day event. What an awesome lineup we will have. And, Susan, I'm determined to do an event with you in one of my favorite cities, the City of Angels. We were in Orange County, California, back in March of 2013. We deserve a repeat performance at some point this year. Having you in the United States makes it so much more easier. That's Susan Sly, everyone. Absolutely go to her website. Take advantage of her offer this evening. Susan, love you. Have a great evening. Can't wait to collaborate with you. Good night, everyone.
I love you, too. Good night. God bless, everyone, and I'll see you guys next time.